In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Lord is risen. Alleluia. More than any other feast in the church's calendar, these sacred mysteries which we celebrate tonight give us a cause to rejoice. This is the principal mystery of our faith, that Christ, after 3 days in the tomb, rose again from the dead. There's a Polish hymn with an unpronounceable, well, the whole thing is unpronounceable really, but it starts off with Zwycięzca śmierci piekła i szatana. And it's very lovely, and it talks about this mystery, the victor over death, hell and Satan. And then the third line talks of an unbelieving nation. Narod niewierny, it says. Well, how true is that in 2021? An unbelieving nation. I think he's talking about the Jews who mocked our Lord while he was on the cross. Come down from the cross, they cried. If thou art the Son of God, come down from the cross and we shall believe in you. He trusted in God that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him if he delight in him. Well, it might also be talking about the Roman soldiers who were pagans, who certainly had their own organized religion with a pantheon of false gods, with the head of state, the emperor at the top, the deification of the state. What do you think of that? And they similarly mocked our Lord while they divided up his few worldly possessions. And then, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and us, says the thief, a couple of yards to his side. But our Lord doesn't do it. It is his will to die on the cross, to save all mankind. Wasn't a nasty accident or a terrible mistake or a bit of a mess up on the part of the Son of God. No, that's what he came to do. He'd said it many times to the crowds and to his own disciples, and his apostles received a very detailed exposition of his plans for the salvation of the world just before the Transfiguration. I mean, the Romans had their own vague idea, prophecies of the coming of Christ, particularly the Sibyl, of course, which had prophesied the coming of Christ. The Jews had very explicit texts in their scriptures which contained many of the elements of the passion of our Lord. And no one sees it. The Jews don't see it. The Romans don't see it. The Blessed Mother and a few women and St. John are the only ones who stay with him at that moment, at the key moment in the history of the world. Well, this is the third day when the women come in the early hours to anoint his body. It seems even they haven't grasped the significance of what they witnessed a few days previously. St. John, for his part, is still asleep with the rest of the apostles. The Jews actually have a very curious attitude. They mock our Lord on the cross, almost, I get the impression anyway, that he might well come down from the cross, they say, and they wait to see if he does. Perhaps he'll come down and surprise them. Even their actions afterwards of insisting that Pilate order a guard to be placed at the tomb so the disciples don't come and steal the body and then claim that he's risen, as he said. Again, it's almost as if they have the fear that they might be wrong, that this was the Messiah, they had awaited for 4,000 years. And they even bribe the soldiers when they come back into the city on the third day with stories of an earthquake and an angel, so that they spread fake news. We know all about that, don't we now? Fake news that the disciples came while they were asleep and stole the body. And they spread that around. And isn't it a very curiously modern attitude? Or we should perhaps rather say, it's the attitude of unbelievers, and it hasn't really changed in 2,000 years. There is definitely, even today, I would say, a recognition of the claims of Christ. And some people might even like some of the elements of the gospel message. A certain compassion for the poor. They think that's all right. Or a generosity and honesty in social life. Or even, there's a vague idea that after this life, there is a reward that will last forever. But there is a very definite rejection of the core message of Christ, which is a denial of self and an embracing of suffering and humiliation. They don't want that part. They don't want Christ to be their king. He mustn't be king. Pilate had written, curiously enough, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And the scribes are absolutely outraged. But their reaction to Pilate is even more shocking. You remember, these men are scribes and Pharisees, the most nationalist of all the Jews. And yet, they say to Pilate, "We have no king but Caesar." That is absolutely shocking. That is shocking. Caesar, the man who claims he is God, who claims he is divine, who wants absolute rule over all his subjects. That man is our king, the deification of the state. Well, by and large, the inhabitants of Scotland are not Jews and much less Romans, but there is very definitely this rejection of the kingship of Christ and ever increasingly the deification of the state. And people are willingly, I would like to say blindly, but I don't know. I don't know in some people's case if it is so blindly. But they're willingly handing themselves over to an absolute power who for the moment is content just to muzzle the general populace and periodically to lock them up in their houses. But where's it going to go? Already right to travel, freedom of association, who you can meet with and when and where. Already decided for you by the state. Freedom of speech. If you don't agree with the state, you might find a copper knocking on your door or arresting you in the street with a baton and tear gas. Seen that on the box, haven't we? Freedom of speech, even it seems, freedom of thought. What you think, you're not allowed to think and believe certain things. Who knows where it's all going? I don't know. But what I do know is that Christ is risen. He didn't give the Jews or the Romans the sign that they wanted. But everyone got the sign of Jonah. Na tsud yonasha is how the first verse of the hymn ends. These godless people, this unbelieving nation, suddenly is terrified because they realize this is the sign of Jonas. After being 3 days in the belly of the whale, out he comes. After being 3 days in the bowels of the earth, out he comes in all his glory, in all his power, in all his might and strength, because he's conquered. He's conquered death, he's conquered hell, and he's conquered Satan, just as he promised he would. So, in the middle of the night, we have very good cause to rejoice. Because, if you've come all this way in the middle of the night, I imagine that's what you believe as well. So, as St. Paul enjoins, you must now live a new life. If you accept Christ is risen, if you accept him as your king, then your life now, after the resurrection, must be a new life. Your belief in the person of Christ is an acknowledgement of his kingship. He is your ruler, and he is your rule of life. The Son of God, the risen Christ. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.